Hey, everybody. I'm Chad Eckert. That's Joe Idoni. And this is the Preferred Lines podcast. You can find us on iTunes and YouTube and follow us on Twitter at Preferred Lines. Hey, Joey. Nice to have a little break. Got us a chance to, you get a haircut and me kind of rearrange my studio here.
Looks good, man. A little refresher. Nothing wrong with that. And we go at the fall swing. Looks good back there, dude. Looks awesome.
Yeah, it's a work in progress, you know, making it up as I go along. This is not like a real studio. I'm still out in my garage. I still got a work light for a light. So making it up.
Yeah, I'll be back in the garage next week. I'm living the bachelor life for a couple days. So I figured why sweat it out in the garage? I'll do it from the kitchen.
Yeah, love that. I love a bachelor weekend, week, any day, ever.
It's helpful every now and then.
We typically fill the first part of the Preferred Lines podcast with a guest. However, there is no guest this week. We have the fall swing lull of the year, so we're not forcing anybody to do this or wasting a good guest on a gross event.
Yeah.
But who are we? What are you watching? Well, we're Chad and Joe. We're buddies who like golf, watching golf and betting on it. And Joe is Joe Idoni. At Tour Picks. You can follow him there for a weekly video on long shots. You can also find him as the creator and founder of the DFS Open, the charity golf event held in Florida each year that brings the community together for the first tee, raising money for that great organization. Joe's done that. He's also won some money on DraftKings, a recent winner of $112,500. You can search for more information on Joe by going to YouTube, typing in Fantasy Golf Pod, Joe Idoni. I did an interview with Mr. Idoni back in about March during quarantine. So you can get more on my guy Joe there. If you want to know more about me, you can follow me every Tuesday night. I do a Fantasy Golf Pod. I'm a hashtag not expert because I'm not an expert. I'm a realtor, a licensed realtor to sell in the state of Minnesota, 10,000 lakes. Here I am, born and raised here, actually, in Minnesota with a passion for fantasy sports. I first started my sports fantasy career by giving my dad's friends advice. I started a website called MyFantasyAdvisor.com in high school. I've done things forever for all sorts of websites, written, video, all sorts of content. My current baby, besides the Preferred Lines podcast, is, like I mentioned, on Tuesdays, it's the Preferred Fantasy Golf Podcast, Fantasy Golf Pod. Of the world, find that on iTunes as well. Listen, you know what? We're bored. We just like to do this each week. Joe and I like to have fun. We're not doing this for real. We're doing this for free. In fact, you will watch this entire video or see this on iTunes and not hear an advertisement because we're not being
paid.
No one's sponsoring this yet, actually. So send us an email at the Preferred Lines Podcast, preferredlinespodcast@gmail.com, if you want us to hawk a product. Promote something for you. Maybe we'll do that. Be fun.
Yeah, we'll shamelessly promote it. But until then, we are your ad-free golf betting podcast. Here we are.
Pure fun. That's what we do. We, Joe, crack beers each week and crack open the betting board. And it's the Sanderson Farms this week.
That was a good Joe. Break.
And at the tippity tip top, Scotty, fresh off COVID, Scheffler. Got ruined. Couldn't participate in your second major, where actually he was primed to do pretty decently. And then COVID struck him. So here we go. We find him here at the top of the board at the Sanderson Farms. Any interest in Scotty Scheffler at 10-1?
No, not for me. Interesting. You know, you get a rookie on the PGA Tour and a guy fresh off the coronavirus, and he comes into the event the prohibitive favorite. I won't be betting Scotty this week. It's just a lot, man. It doesn't seem like a terrific course fit for him. I don't think he has. I think he does have some history here from last year, but in the same regard, it doesn't seem like a great fit for his style of game and the angle that I'm sort of looking at. And it's just 11-1, 10-1, Scotty Scheffler. I'm just going to pass there. Same for you, I assume. You usually don't like these guys.
You know, It seems like a field that he could overtake and take control of. He's shown he's been the class of a couple of real tough events, some majors and things. So Scottie Scheffler to win it, I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think it's like Bryson where you feel like you're going to FOMO if you don't bet it. So I could pass on that, skip to a couple down. You would have had Louis at 12-1. He withdrew. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why he was in the tournament. We knew he was going to withdraw. So he was here and now gone, and now you got – him right there, the second on the board, 12-1 or 14-1, or you can find him. And I found him and liked him, and I'm clicking him. And then Zalatoris, he's also under 20-1. You got Zalatoris, 16-1. You?
No, I actually, so interestingly enough, Louis, I was kind of interested in originally, just because he's had some good performance of recent, but then I thought, you know, Louis coming off cashing a third place check at the U.S. Open, what has he been doing the last 10 days? Probably nothing, right? Which is probably why he withdrew. The one guy we know that never does nothing is Sung Jae-im, and he's right there underneath it. And crazy enough, so I have Bovada up as this Louis news is breaking, and they shifted Sungjae from 14-1 to 16-1, like as that Bolton tweet came out. I believe he's still there, which didn't make sense, right? He went from the third favorite in the field to the second guy, and they bumped him up another 2 points. So I took Sungjae-im 16-1. I liked him anyways coming into this. I feel like I've got a bit of a good read on Sungjae. You know, there's some players how you can just kind of feel.
We're a Wolf podcast.
Yeah, well, Wolf is my guy anytime. Sungjae, I've had a pretty good read on when he's going to do well and when he's not. And he has a definitive course fit, unlike some guys. You know, you want to, he likes a place that's demanding off the tee, that's going to be hit the fairway, hit the green, and rolling some putts. And, of course, when he is on the green, he loves his Bermuda grass, one of the biggest splits of any guy in the field in terms of differentiators between Bermuda, Poa, you know, past Palom, bent grass. He plays his best on Bermuda. And he's had some good, also a quick thing, he's had some good repeat performances sort of his second time around. So obviously he lost in a playoff last year, so he has good history here. But some other places like API, which is Bermuda grass, third and a third. The Honda, a 41st and a first Bermuda grass. Wyndham, Bermuda, a sixth and a ninth. So he seems to have these course fits that are all have a lot of common links together. I see that kind of in that mold this week for Sungjae, 16-1. You know, unlike Louis, where you have a guy that you don't know what he's done since the U.S. Open, Sungjae we know has been grinding. He never stops. He's a robot, and he's 16-1, and I think that he should be the favorite this week had he had a little better form coming in, but it gets us a price drift. It gets us probably 5-6 points extra on the price, so I took 16-1 is my only guy inside of the top 25 there. 25.
Okay, well, you know what? Another guy who loves Bermuda grass is Sam Burns. And if you go into the 20s, you can find Sam Burns. Also there at 25 is Zach Johnson. Okay, well, that's cool. And then last year's winner here, Munoz Sebastian at 28-1. This is where we've been finding our bread and butter is in the 20s. So I'm all back in on Sam Burns. I'm one of those guys. I'm a simp for Burns because I think he's due to win. So why would you get off him now? I kind of feel stupid. Like, I should have looked ahead. It should have been a look-ahead spot. And he probably looked ahead a little bit to this grass, this tournament last week, and he kind of stumbled on Saturday. But then picked it up a Sunday, which made me feel like, okay, a little more confidence that, no, Sam Burns isn't hurt. He had a round three that was just bad. Maybe he was just pressing. He knew his time's coming, and he thought maybe it was it. Slept on Friday and woke up Saturday just excited and too excited. So here we go. Sam Burns on Bermuda. Here we go in this field, and you can get him at 25. I got him at 28 myself. What are you doing?
Nice. I see a 28 there too. I did pass on Sammy Burns just because I'm in on Sungjae right above there, but I see all the reasons why you would like him. You know, he is – I don't want this to sound weird, but he is like a specimen of an athlete. Like, you can tell, like, if there was an MMA fight, like a cage fight, I'm taking PGA Sam Burns on the PGA Tour. He's a beast, man. And he hits it far. He plays with aggression, but I think that he needs either some help from his caddy sometimes on his decision making that I noticed at, what was it, the Safeway?
Okay, yeah.
2 weeks. Yeah, yeah. Some decision making stuff and simplifying things a little bit and playing a little bit smarter, and he's that close, but he's definitely due for a win.
What about an MMA fight with Zach Johnson?
Yeah, he's gonna be a big time dog against just about anybody, especially Sammy Burns.
I'm surprised he's getting 25-1, and the guy hasn't won since 2015. Why would they have? Do you think he's gonna win? Is he due just because he's shown up a little bit recently with his putter and things? We saw him at the Open, the U.S. Open.
Right. I think that it is the type of course. Look, 7,400 yards for a par 72 is relatively short. There's four pretty gettable par fives all in that like 560 to 580 range, which Zach Johnson can still get there on those. And he's just, you know, he's known from his career to play well on these type of course fits, a little bit of a shorter layout that's going to demand some accuracy off the tee and can hit pitching wedge 9-iron into green. So it's a good fit for him. I'm not going anywhere near at 25-1. I would probably look to fade him actually in a couple of those matchups and those guys right around him.
Well, especially Munoz, who won last year, likes Bermuda too, almost as much as anybody in like tour. So
yeah,
I think I was on him and Munoz, and it was a playoff last year because they're both Bermuda people. So just don't overthink this stuff. They're comfortable. They're happy. They come in confident. So click them. 30-1, last year's runner-up or almost won, Ben On, he's at 30. Adam Long, last week's almost winner, led after 54 holes, he's 30. Doc Redman, the chalk of the whatever community, everyone likes him, at 33. Harmon, 33. Chez, 33. Connors, 35. There's some value here, potentially. What do you think of these names?
So I did take Doc Redman, 33-1. I guess I didn't realize how much of a community play it was. I guess you've seen some people hot on that trail already, which makes
Burns
me a little bit nervous.
Or Doc. It's like Burns or Doc.
He was always going to be popular. You know, it's an event that, like I said before, accuracy off the tee, good iron players, make a couple putts, hit your green in regulations. That's Doc Redman. Saw it for the first time last year. While he didn't play great, he did make the cut and finished in, I think, like 51st or 52nd. But I look back and he bled a ton of strokes around the green in putting, which is usually his norm. At that time, he was in the midst of a brutal putting stretch where he lost strokes putting in seven straight events. He's actually in the midst of a pretty good putting stretch for him. Four out of the last five, he's gained putting. So that is not the norm for Doc Redman. We had always said if he can have one of these weeks where he gains 3, 4, 5 strokes putting on the field, he's there to win. I don't think that he's in that, you know, upper echelon of young, talented group of players that we see in Wolf, Morikawa, M, Neiman, these guys. But he's right in that next tier. Like, he's right there with Sammy Burns. When these guys finally break through for a win, they're going to consistently be in this 45-65-1 range in big time fields, and they're going to have a couple career wins. They're going to have a solid career for themselves. So I'm going to take my stand here on him at 33-1 and get back on Doc Redman that I was on a lot in the early spring.
It reminds me of a little bit of JT Poston, where you kind of saw that coming, and then he won the Wyndham last year. It's just always in the 50s, 40s, and just a solid player.
Yeah. Another one that I have right here, who you mentioned at 33, he's actually 40-1 right now, which I thought was just a really lofty number in terms of win rate and expectancy versus those guys right around him, is Chez.
Yeah.
So I was on Chez a couple weeks ago, played really well tee to green. I ran a little bit of a stat model this week, 5th tee to green, 6th in ball striking, 5th in approach, and 3rd in driving accuracy. He was 3rd overall guy that I had listed there. Zero course history, which is, I'm sure, a bit of a contributing factor to why he's 40-1, because he usually has his courses that he plays well, but led the field in driving accuracy at the Safeway 2-3 weeks ago now. Finished 3rd in that event, and then right after that, he was the uber popular pick at the U.S. Open when everyone thought that driving accuracy was going to be a key stat. Turns out that strategy was obviously flawed. Yeah. But one of the best iron players in the world, Chez, honestly, he gets it done, and he's made – like, I was looking at this earlier. So Chez is 5'8", 160 pounds for Wichita, Kansas, and he's currently ranked 254th on the PGA Tour in driving distance. He has no business, like, being out there at all. He's short. He's small. He can't hit it far. 17.2 million in career earnings for Chez Reavie. Like, impressive. That's... tip of the hat to him for getting it done all these years. And the only reason he's doing that is because he's such an elite iron player.
Dude, imagine. Imagine if he drove the ball. 41
is a good number. Look at these other guys, like, right around him. I don't feel nearly as confident in their ability to close out and win golf tournaments.
No.
He's a good player. Seems like a good number. That's why I took it. You got anybody in these juicy 30 range that we love?
No, I thought about Doc, and I think he's the most due of the range to win, but I did fade the range ultimately, and I'm considering a guy in the 40s. There's two in the 40s that I've seen. It's Fratelli and Siwoo. So you can get Fratelli at 40, Siwoo at 45, and I like Fratelli. I'm leaning him too. For his off – is a tee to green game. The guy's a tee to green machine, including his best performance of his entire career. Well, it's a short career, it's not a long career, but he's had, you know, somewhat of a decent start from playing the Corn Ferry events and things like that. But he's 11.9 strokes tee to green here last year. Oh my goodness, that was wow. Likes the place, maybe. I feel like he's the real new RCB, or, like, you know, Stenson, where those guys, you they've had their careers. They're on year six of that 5-year window. Fratelli's on year one. He could become Stenson or RCB in 4 or 5 years from now, win a couple events. He's got ready a win under his belt. Maybe he'll win this one. So at 40 seems decent to me. But I don't know. Going to the 50s, right?
Yeah. Let's talk the 50s. You got anybody in this range? There's some good quality names here.
So List is top of the list of the 50-to-1 range, and then Stenson's here, Griot's here, Zhang, who was in contention and kind of blew up on Sunday, but 50-to-1 here, and then Cameron Davis at 55. You know, somebody that's got the talent, should be one of those players that's coming up in the world. Another name that this is kind of one of those weeks where you target the young guys that are grinding for a win over a Stenson, who's, I don't know why he's here, but Luke List, dude, he's sneaky good off the tee at 50-to-1, and you need to be kind of a bomber here. Well, maybe, because Champ won once.
Champ's kind of the anomaly, though, like in everything that he does, because he is just so long that if he has one week where he hits 50% of the fairways, he's at such a huge advantage. But looking back, it seems more of a It's all over the board in terms of the people who have won here, right? You've got Cam Champ, who hits it probably the furthest on tour. Then you've got Ryan Armour. You've got Peter Malnati. You've got Nick Taylor. You've got Cody Gribble, which, how the fuck did he win here? Is he even on tour anymore? I don't know.
Dude, I loved him. He was like roommates with Speeth or something.
It's a mixed bag. Trying to use past winners to be predictive of what to look for this week is difficult, but length is always good. it's as long as you can hit some fairways.
Exactly. Though it's kind of a week where maybe you want to risk it on a longer shot, because that seems to be the case here. And at this, you know, 60-to-1 range.
Well, I have one guy at 50. Hold on. I do have one.
Oh, you don't
guy
want me to
here.
Leave the range? I'm, you know, just.
Yeah, yeah.
Sold on these. You know, it's hard to get up for a Griot at 50 or a Zhang at 50.
Fuck Griot. Griot is the most, and he's probably going to win this week because I'm saying this, but he is the most overvalued player on the odds board every week. Griot should never be inside of 100-to-1. He shouldn't.
Did you hear what Griot – I don't remember who said this or how I heard this, but apparently – and maybe it's Culp, because Culp's the quote guy, but yeah, there was a quote where Griot was like, Bryson, damn, he grinds a ton. Oh, man, I'll never work that hard, or something weird. Like,
terrible. Like, everyone thinks that. You don't say it, especially when you have one career win.
And it was your first event ever, wasn't it?
They set this bear trap down at 50-to-1, and I stepped directly into it. Ooh. And it's Henrik Stenson.
Oh, of course. Okay.
I'm taking it. Look,
50's a lot, though.
50's it's crazy. A lot on Stenson, right? On a course that normally should be a great fit for him. Now, is his lack of rounds under his belt this year concerning? Yes. You run a stat model and he will pop up good, but a lot of those numbers are pulling stats and data from 2019 at this point because he just hasn't played enough. I do like that he's played back-to-back weeks. Didn't play well at a U.S. Open. He'll never play well at a U.S. Open. He did kind of play well at Punta Cana, finished 21st, which is a decent result for him. I heard him say that he's going to play more events in this fall swing, which I like to hear. Means he's, to me, that means he's excited and gearing up for to play some golf over the next couple months. Which I like.
If he wins, he won't play anymore. He'll win.
Yeah, if he wins this week, he's done till the Masters, 100%. But look, 6 months ago, same form, he probably walks into this event 12-1.
Oh, totally.
50-1. We've talked a lot about it. I know Feinberg harps on it a lot, which is like this mindset of the elite drift. Now, is it a stretch to call Henrik Stenson elite? Probably yes. I'll concede that. But in this field, he's probably went on one of the top three players, and you're catching a number that I feel is very valuable based on his talent level.
Right. No, I bet him last week.
Fives really well. I mean, it should be a great spot and fit for him. Am I nervous that he just comes out and is still rusty? Of course, but that's part of the reason why he's 50-1. So I'm going to fall into this trap completely. And I like Henrik Stenson a lot, 50-1.
My thing was he won the Hero in December.
Out of nowhere.
So, yeah, like he could come in terrible form.
And he hit everything to like 4 feet at the Hero on that Sunday. He was unbelievable with his ball striking, and he can go on runs like that for sure.
He does not care unless like he'll show up and win or lose. It's not a Rose situation where we know Rose would show up to this and not care.
Yeah.
But like Stenson, like he could accidentally win this.
Yeah. If I'm building one lineup on DraftKings, there's no way I'm playing Henrik.
Right.
But at 50-1, I like my chances if he's in contention for sure.
All right, let's talk about the 60s, and you got Bud Cauley, Lucas Glover. He likes the course, or he did once upon a time. Mm-hmm. He missed the cut last year, but Hoffman's here at 60. Josh Perry picked Hoffman. He picked a couple names, but Hoffman was one I remember. Lewis, okay. Tommy Lewis here. Carlos Ortiz, Mr. Top 5 here in the last 2 years. Only 2 years he's played, he's top 5. And then Pat Perez, Denny the Dirt Man, McCarthy at 66. You got Wierenski and Rogers, 66, as well as Chesson Hadley. What do you like?
I don't have any of these guys. I do, of course, have some interest in my guy Denny. But I'm hoping to see that number creep up. I don't think it gets lower than 66-1, but long-term stats, his approach numbers seem like he would not be a good fit here. Short-term, he's playing much better. He's gained on approach like five out of the last six events I wrote down here. Best putter on the PGA Tour, I think, is kind of unquestionable at this point. Good on Bermuda grass greens. Somewhat accurate off the tee. I like Denny a lot. I just don't know if this is the best fit for him, so I would love something with a 7 in front of it. So I'm going to wait, and he may be on my card come Wednesday. He probably will be, but I'm gonna hold for now.
Cool. I've considered Timmy Tom Lewis at 60-1 because of some stuff I looked at on Fantasy National. It made me think he was good. So or whatever, DraftKings play on that or top 10. And I did actually fire a bet off on Patrick Rogers. I know it's not POA or whatever, and it's Bermuda, and I've been talking about grass, and you got to get a guy licensed grass. But doesn't matter typically with Patrick Rogers. He's usually a good putter, so I'm not totally worried about that. I did look back to see he had a bad performance here last year, but the year before that was good with his iron. So, you know, ultimately, I don't really care. I'm looking at some recent form with him. Patrick Rogers is showing up in events. He kind of feels like the grinder out of that, like, I'm young and I've got excuses into that I need to prove it age, and I like that. And these are the events those kind of guys do well at. And 66-1 is a great number for Patrick Rogers. So, and T11 last week, recent form. Let's go. So
you're right about that. He is a really good putter, and I know he kind of has favored POA, but it depends on how long you look back, right? I know that he's like lived here in Jupiter for a while, and all these courses here are Bermuda grass greens. So he has to have some familiarity with it. It's exactly what he practices on every single week. It's what he goes to the range and goes to the chipping green on when he's home. Every single week is Bermuda grass versus when he lived out in California, it was POA. So the familiarity has to be getting there, and that's not a weakness in his game that I would necessarily be concerned about. It's just whether or not he can get off the tee well.
And whatever, short hitters have won, long hitters have won, whatever. So we'll see. Patrick Rogers could win.
Yeah.
Now there's long shots that could win. Three of the past six winners were 100+1. I read that in Josh Perry's article. Or
music to my ears.
Yeah, but you know, go click his article and double check that I have the right stat.
It's got to be right. It's armor. It's armor. It's Gribble. Gribble had to be 100-1, and it's got to be either Malnati or Nick Taylor. They were both probably 100-1. So yeah, I buy into that for sure.
But long shot week, because you know why, Joe? It's a pitch and putt fest filled with birdies. A lockbox putter can get you a couple nice holes, and then all of a sudden you're in contention. So just get hot with your putter. Can Sergio do it at 70-1? 70-1 for Sergio.
Wow.
Garcia, he's awful with his putter. It's like he could just put a blindfold on and be better because he's literally terrible. I don't know. I understand. Why doesn't he just tell his caddy, line me up, like Webb Simpson style? But Sergio's awful with the putter.
I don't know.
I don't trust him. Even at 70, that's awful. Straka's here, 75. But I've got some names as long shots. I got a few. I bet a few. Who do you like as long shots?
I've got a few too. So I'm kind of looking way up. I got 100. I'll start at 140-1.
Okay.
I got Johnny Vegas, baby.
Yeah, he's so bad. I never click him. No, right.
I'm falling
into
that trap again too, because he always pops really well in your stat model. So this probably he ranked fourth in the model that I ran, which probably should tell me that my model sucks and is extremely flawed. But if I didn't take him and I saw that and it happened, I'd feel like shit. So that's why I'm taking it. He's best on Bermuda grass, top 10 tee to green. He's a good par five player. You know, all four of those par fives are gettable here. That's where you're going to make your hay this week. Mm-hmm. Munoz won last year at 18 under, and he was 10 under on the par fives. So that is usually, I feel like, where you're going to have the determining factor. If you play those par fives in 9, 10, 11 under, you're going to be up there. And he has a rare combination when he's on, of being extremely long and extremely accurate off the tee. So ninth in distance in the field and 27th in accuracy. It's a good combination here. He's got a top five here before. Granted, it was a couple years ago, but he only has two starts here. So 141, Johnny Vegas. Next one I have is a 160-1 on the Mississippi flavor of the week, Davis Riley.
Oh, God.
Hattiesburg, I'm getting on it. I'm falling into your sort of local narrative line that you usually like, but I think he's on.
Oh, it's better this year where there's no fans. That's what I think.
Look, he's got the local narrative right. No fans. Two wins last year on the Corn Ferry Tour. I believe they were both tight, accurate Bermuda grass courses. I know TPC at San Antonio, the Oaks course, is very much like that. I'm not sure about the course they played in Panama that he won at, but look, he was the third overall in points on the Corn Ferry Tour. So he's a good player, right? Will Zalatoris was first, and Will Zalatoris is 16-1. Davis Riley was a couple points behind him and is 10X on that 16 at 160-1. I'm going to roll the dice on that.
Okay.
And then lastly, real quick, I took a couple of former champs that I like betting these guys, and they're accurate off the tee and a hot putter. So Nick Taylor is 150-1, Canadian player that I like. And Ryan Armour, you know I like me some Ryan Armour, is 250-1. Both returning to a place where they've ended Sunday evening, hoisting a trophy in front of some clicking cameras. So good vibes for them.
Sure.
Sanderson Farms, anything can happen. We've seen long shots, so throw a couple darts here if you guys are at home. Fire.
Exactly.
Who you got?
Ventura at 80, Ace Ventura.
Looked hard at it.
I mean, he's a winner on the Corn Ferry Tour. If you're going to go with your guy, that random dude that I don't even know of, Ventura, I at least
Davis
know.
Davis Riley? Fun to,
no. I, and then Ace. Play. You can call it Ace Ventura. I love Ace Ventura. I love those movies. Tringali loves the Lord, and the Lord might be with him, and he needs a win. We know that. The he's Lord. The longest tenured tour player that doesn't have a win yet, I think, or one of them.
Gooch. What do you mean the Lord? Like religion?
Yeah. Okay. So Tringali is a guy that goes on mission trips and like serves and does things that are good. So good guys can win sometimes, Joe.
Positive vibes.
Doesn't always have to be Bryson and Patrick Reed who win these things.
Yeah. Talent. Okay,
Gooch. Win, but Gooch at 101. Let's go with Gooch. I like that. That seems unfair. I mean, 101. He should definitely be lower than that. Hubbard. Hubbard. 110-1. And then
very Wyndham interested Cole. In that.
I mean, Hubbard played here last year, and I considered it, and he was a no-name. And now, I mean, he's played well, had events where he's learned how to play in contention and have those moments where you have that pressure.
How did he finish last year? Did he play decent here?
You can look that up while I talk about Wyndham Clark.
I'm very interested in that.
Wyndham Clark, dude, is, like, finding it again. And I like it. I want it. At 150-1, I'll take it. And then McNeely, too, we liked him a couple of months ago or a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever, and he was 101, and now he's 175-1. So Maverick McNeely, it's amazing. I'm using $25, Joe, for 10 bets. That's what I'm doing. $10.
Nice. And you know what people should really be tailing is your head-to-heads, right? You had a good week with those. So if you don't, you should just auto-tail Chad on the head-to-heads this week.
Well, not the parlays, maybe. The really truth is that I haven't been posting the winners. I've been tweeting and jinxing my parlays, but the ones I don't tweet, they're the ones that win, and it's weird. And I've noticed that this website I used, Parlay Matchups, which not every website allows you to parlay matchups, but this one particular one does, and now they've limited me because I'm so successful.
You're killing it with those $5 for 42.
No, it's $1 for 20. It's great.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, I looked, be careful.
I went this morning, and it was a bloodbath for me this weekend. I had the NFL theory. It went bad. I had a bad college day. I whiffed a couple of lazy picks in the Dominican for PGA. So it was one of those mornings where I was, like, looking at the odds for this, but, like, covering the top half of my phone like this so I couldn't see the available or what my balance was because I know it's bad.
Whatever, you've got $112,500, Joe.
Yeah, so it's part of gambling. If you've never been there where you don't want to look at your balance and what you owe to the guy this week, then you're lying.
No, it's true. But listen, don't do things because people tell you to do things. Do things because you want to do them. And I want to bet 10 guys, and I want to play for $25, and that's fine with me because that's what I want to do. And if you think that's not enough money to bet or if that's too many guys to bet on, then go fuck yourself. I don't care. Do what I want. Do this for fun. Do this.
We do it for fun, man. That's it.
Do we do this for profit?
No. We're not touts. We aren't. If you want to, like, Venmo me money, I'll, like, send you my card. But I also give it out for free. So have at it.
No. Make up your card out of names you want to have fun with. You could do a Stenson Sergio Snedeker card. Just have some.
But in all seriousness, we follow this stuff, right? I don't want to say we're, like, good at this, but we do follow this, I think, almost as much as anybody. We put in a lot of time and effort into it, but, you know, we're not here to, like, give you winners. We're just trying to find them for ourselves and hope to bring you guys along the way. So if you tail a couple and we hit them, good shit.
Joe, when people like Hudson fucking Swafford win and lift trophies on the tour, I mean, this stuff's hard to pick.
Swaff Daddy, it's impossible. Who saw that coming?
I don't know. All right, so should we recap our preferred plays of the week? I've got a big bet on Sam Burns. I got Pat Rogers. I like the Christian Tringali. And then I like Ace Ventura, Gooch. Oh, I forgot to mention Percy. Cameron Percy has course history here. He's playing decently in recent form. He's 101. Hubbard, McNeely, Clark. Man. There's things going on inside my house.
Is that a scream?
Yeah, it's my toddler.
You need to go check on that, or is that normal?
No, I got 2 more minutes.
Yeah. All right, I'll go quickly then.
Big bet on Sung JM, 16-1. I've got Doc at 33-1. I also, shout to my Kent State grad here, I like Corey Connors a lot. I haven't pulled the trigger on that yet because his recent form sucks, but should be a good fit. Might bet him. 40-1, Chez Reavy, 50-1, Henrik Iceman Stenson. And then a couple of long shots. Johnny Vegas, Davis Riley, Nick Taylor, and Ryan Armour.
Nice.
That's what I got. I'll have some more later this week. Seems like a good top 10 week. I think a lot of these long shots are definite possibilities to get a good top 10 number.
Well, especially when you can have 9 birdies in a row at any point in time. I mean, that's the truth. Like all of a sudden you can get a top 10 or you can lose a top 10 just like that.
Yep. Sung Jae week though. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.
I'm all in. I got to bet on him. Don't miss it. Dude, if I'm going to bet him at these other events where he's 30-1 against real players and people, I'm going to bet him here. Hello. I can't miss that. I can't be sitting there Sunday and not have it. I might go all in on DraftKings. If you are a DraftKings player and you want advice on that, on ownership and pivots, follow the Fantasy Golf Pod and follow us on Twitter and iTunes or whatever else. And do the liking and of the subscribing because, again, we do this for free. We do this for fun. No one's paying us to be here. We're not obligated to give you this advice. We do this from the goodness of our hearts. And Joe and I put a lot of effort into it. We try to get some winners. So let's hashtag Mega Profit the Sanderson Farms. Boom. Look at this. Cool little setup.
Hey, we're on Spotify now too, right?
I think so. According to
Podbean. I think we're on there. So you can check us out there. We had some people reach out last week. And subscribe on YouTube. We need some subscribers. Get that up.
Thank you, sirs. And well, good luck. See you next week.
Good luck, buddy. Later, gang.
Peace.